Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, and welcome to Says Who for the Addictive Personality. I am author of Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge Where Souls Connect. And I'm here with my co-host, Aura Nadrich.
Hi, everybody. I am Aura, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a certified life coach, certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and the creator of the Says Who method for transforming negative and fear-based thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. We are going to help you transform those thoughts that get in the way of you creating the life that you want and deserve.
And on the show, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps, A Course in Miracles, and Aura Says Who method. The main thing we're going to talk about and how all three of those things work together is the power of thought and how your thought runs your life. It creates your life. And Aura's going to tell you how we're going to go about that.
We are going to take these 7 questions that I've created so that you can find out if your thoughts are real or if they're not, and if they're serving your well-being or if they're not. And by you sending us in your questions, we're going to be able to work with you directly so that we can help you use the Says Who method to change those thoughts out to make your life work.
And you're going to be submitting your questions. Each week we will be answering these questions. Let's do it, Aura. Hello, everybody. This is Johnny Calloway of Morph Into a New You, where we believe if you want to change your life, you got to change your mind about your life. And we have the lovely Miss Aura Nadrich here with us today with her Says Who method. And we're directing this toward the addicted personality. And today we're talking about fear and how we confront it. Hello, Aura.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
I'm great. I'm rocking.
Good. I'm great, too. I love that we connect on Fridays. We're all ready to go. We want to set the tone for a fabulous weekend for everybody and carry that energy into another great week.
Right, right. So today we're talking about fear and how we let fear hold us back and what we do to confront fear so that we don't have to be held back. I love it.
Right. That's absolutely correct. And fear, by the way, I just want to say right off the top, fear is something each and every one of us feels, whether you're an addict or you're not. It's part of the human condition. So to varying degrees, we feel fear. And I even wrote a chapter about that in Says Who, you know, to really understand fearful thoughts that are legitimate, meaning there's an actual threat to our survival, and thoughts that we tell ourselves that keep perpetuating fear. So it's important to know the difference. And again, bringing up our thoughts and what integral part it plays in how we are affected by the thoughts we think. We can tell ourselves so many things that aren't true that keep us in a state of fear.
Absolutely. So I know, being a recovering addict, alcoholic myself, that fear, before I got on my recovery path, fear, a lot of the times my using was about helping me deal with the fear. It was about, if I have one more shot of whatever, I'll have the courage to ask her to dance. I'll have the courage to ask for that job. Supplements become supplements. Not really the word I want, but
stimulants
give us false courage. And unfortunately, the stimulants end up working against us instead of for us. So with our process here today, we're going to find real courage. And I think it ties into last week. Last week, we talked a lot about connection and connectivity and how that can give us hope. Well, hope is the beginning of courage. So if we connect and we start to have hope, then we can gradually build our courage and move into real courage and real effective healing instead of something that's tearing us apart.
That's right. You know, Johnny, I also want to say that because, you know, Says Who is all about the thinking mind, and it's a method that I've created for basically changing out thoughts that aren't real and thoughts that don't support our well-being. And, you know, when you say to yourself, I need a drink, or I need this, or I need that in order to make me feel courageous enough to do something, that is a thought that we're telling ourselves. And we can change out that thought. Not doing something can make us be courageous. By saying no to something, we can be more courageous. So again, it's turning the thinking around. When we think we need something in order to feel confident and secure to do something, like the example you gave me of ask the girl to dance, ask someone on a date, you know, feel secure to approach somebody that we feel might reject us. You know, all the things that we tell ourselves that keep us stuck in fear, it takes courage to tell us something other than what we have been telling ourselves, that, you know what, it is courageous of me to say, no, I don't need to reach out for that in order to feel brave, in order to feel confident that I can ask this person to dance with me. So this is how we build up our courage. This is how we build up our inner confidence, because we start to tell ourselves things like, and this goes into the release and replace technique that I have in Says Who. If I tell myself something like, oh, I need a drink, or I need a drug, or I need whatever I think I need in order to give me the security, the confidence, and the belief in myself to then do something, I am keeping that thought alive in my mind, and it is going to always be connected to my belief that that is what makes me strong and that that's what makes me confident. But if I release that and replace it with, I don't need something to make me feel confident to ask this person to dance or to ask somebody for something that I need, we have switched out a thought, and that's like switching out a belief. And this is what we begin to do. We begin to change the thoughts that have created beliefs that ultimately keep as a core belief that we then get tied into. Do you know what I mean, Johnny? Those core beliefs become the way we think all the time. And in order to change it, you got to change your thoughts around it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just trying to tie this in for the addict and how this actually works for, I'm going to say, the active addict. I can't tell you how many times in my own life or how many people I've talked to about this since I've been in recovery, that I'm just going to create a situation here that's a very real situation, a scenario where guy wants to go for a job interview. And he's like, you know what, if I just smoked me a little joint here before I went, I know I would be much calmer and I'd be able to come across much better. But then what happens, it's like, well, the one joint didn't do it, so I'm going to smoke another one. And then maybe, oh, well, now I've got cotton mouth, maybe I'll drink a beer. Next thing you know, the day's gone by. You never went for the interview. You never got any of it done because you got caught up in looking for something else to make it okay.
Right.
So if I can change the thought to, like, you know what, this is frightening. I've never done well with this before, but I'm going to do it different. I'm going to do it different than the way I've done it in the past, and I'm going to explore and see if this works. That is courage to me.
Absolutely.
In one of our shows, I quoted a John Wayne quote because I'm an old cowboy, and John Wayne said one time, courage is when you feel the fear and you saddle up anyway.
Right. I love that, by the way. It's so true. It's like, get back on that horse. You know, I was an actress, and I remember my acting teacher saying a great line when an actor would stop mid-scene because they either felt fear or they felt insecure, uncertain. And she used to say, cross the street and then find out why you couldn't.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That really stuck with me. It was like, get back on that saddle, get back on that horse, even if you're petrified to do it. Cross that street, even if you're petrified to do it. Just the act alone, just doing that and getting from point A to B, that's courage. That's saying, hey, I did that. That's courageous of me. Even when I'm petrified, I got back on that horse. Even when I was shaking in my boots to cross the street, I crossed that street. And, you know, Johnny, we've all been there. We've all been shaking in our boots where we didn't think we could do something and we did it. And I know for you in particular, because you have so many rich pearls that you've shared about your journey as an addict, and that took you from point A to point B. And you know what happens when you go to point B? You then want to go to point C. When you go to point C, the next thing you know, one day you're at point Z And you go, wow, talk about courage. Even when I was petrified, I moved. I did something, or I changed out a thought, or I changed out a belief. Or instead of reaching out for something, it's like that great story you shared the other day about, I think it was either your sponsor or someone said, you know, how would it feel not to go buy that six pack?
Right.
How would it be to make a different decision for yourself? How would it be to have a different thought and not just to fall to the same old negative thinking that keeps us trapped in our fear, that keeps us believing our fear so that that gets in the way of us being courageous?
Okay. I'm going to make this very personal for me right now.
Okay. And I love
you. You opened that door. We've talked about hope. We've talked about connection. We've talked about fear and courage. Okay. I've got a 10th grade education as far as what shows on the books. I got a 10th grade education and I took a GED while I was in a reform school. I've written 3 books now. The end of this month, I'm going to LA to present my book to 14 Hollywood producers. I am scared to death. My mind is constantly telling me, you know what, you've already paid, but they'll give you your money back if you cancel soon enough. And you don't have, you know, this is just a little much, Johnny. I refuse to give in to that fear. And where the connection comes in is I call my friend Ed. I sat here on the show with my friend Dora. I sat at breakfast with my friends and I tell them all these fearful thoughts that are coming in. And they're like, just tell them to shut up.
Right.
Just tell them to shut up. You can't not do this.
That's right.
My friend Ed pointed out to me the other day. He said, Johnny, if you don't do this, you're going to kick yourself in your butt the rest of your life. So I've had a thought for years about what courage means to me. I don't feel like, and this may sound like I'm kicking myself, but I'm not. I don't feel like I've ever really done a courageous thing in my life. What happens is one fear ends up outweighing the other. The fear of not doing something ends up outweighing the fear of doing it. The fear of not going to LA is bigger for me today than the fear of going. So I'm going. So I'm saying that right now for the listener, not because I want to blow up about what's happening in my life. I'm saying it for the listener. I got a 10th grade education. I'm going to Hollywood to pitch a book to 14 producers. You can do this.
Yes.
You just got to keep, as Aura says, go to step A. Go to step B. Once you've gone to step B, you're going to want to go to step C.
That's right.
And I have known for years I've known this. Nothing changes that isn't preceded with desire. If you have the desire to grow, if you have a desire to be a better employee, if you have a desire, you don't become a better employee without having the desire to be a better employee.
Right.
So if you want to grow, there's a line, I think it came from A Course in Miracles. This one I can't swear is a quote, but I love it no matter where it came from. And it says, you have no idea the power of your wanting.
Yes.
That's incredible.
I know. And you know, when we sometimes make the biggest leap, or when we're going to do something that is so out of our comfort zone, especially if we've been living our life in a particular kind of way that has been not serving our well-being, or maybe for the addict, destructive, when we make that first step, or when we're about to, you know, take that first big leap of faith, what often accompanies it are a lot of thoughts that want to sabotage us. A lot of thoughts right away are like, oh, why should I even bother? Or even what you're just sharing with us about you coming to LA. It's so easy for us to default to, oh, what does it matter anyway? Oh, I'm this, I'm that. Why should I bother? That is when you have to tell yourself something like, you know what? I know I'm scared. I know, you know, whether you just shared about your 10th grade education, that's not what's going to be present in that room when you come to LA to talk to those people. It's not, hi, I'm Johnny Calloway. I had a 10th grade education. That's not what's going to be speaking for you. That's not what represents you. Who you are today represents you. Who you are right this minute represents you. And who you are right this minute can be different than any other minute you've ever had before it. And that's the power of thought, and that's the power of the mind. Who we are right this minute, Johnny, isn't who we've ever been before.
Ever.
And we can continue to be somebody different every single moment of our lives. That's the freedom. That's the power. That's the power of the thinking mind. We can change at any given moment. All we have to do is say to ourselves, I want to do this. You want to come to LA. You want to take that step. You've been on many steps, A to B to C to D. You walk those steps. And even when we walk those steps, I don't care who you are. You know, I have a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine who I knew, and he was very close to a Academy Award winning actor. And he used to tell me that the Academy Award winning actor after a screening would say, was it good? Was I good? I mean, everybody has their insecurity. Everybody doesn't think that they're enough. Some people have that imposter syndrome. You know, I mean, we've all had those thoughts like, oh, if everybody finds out, they're going to find out that I'm not this and I'm not that. You know, that's when we have to tell those thoughts to get out of the way. That's when we have to tell them who's boss. Everybody in their own way. I don't care if somebody comes off like they're the most confident person on the planet. Everybody has critical self-talk to varying degrees. And obviously, with all due respect to the addict who has relied on a substance to make them feel better, it's, yes, I commend you even more for taking that step to go beyond something that has made you feel something that you're now ready to do it on your own. I commend you for that. That is awesome.
Oh. Thank you, because I am one of those addicts you're talking to, so I'm going to say thank you.
Talk about the cowboy who's been back on that saddle.
Well, you know? Thank you.
Been back on that saddle over and over again, and you know from what you're talking about.
Well, I know that one of the greatest things I was told in my early, I like to call it when I turned around and started walking back out of the woods, I was told early on that I had every right to tell my mind to shut the hell up.
I encourage that, by the way. I tell people, you know what? You need to talk to yourself. You know, it used to be a time like, is talking to yourself weird? Should we be talking to ourselves? I say, yeah, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself really loud and clear and tell your mind who's boss.
You know, it's amazing. Early on in my recovery, there's a thing that gets said a lot in the 12-step rooms, like, just don't think. And I'm like, how the hell do I stop thinking? Because it never stops. And I'm like, am I different? Am I the only one whose mind never stops? So what I realized early on, and I'm so grateful I did, is I'm always going to think, and I'm not going to shut it up. I just have to learn to think differently. And
that's
I'm
right.
So grateful for A Course in Miracles, because one of its very early lessons is I am determined to see this differently. And then not long after that, one of the lessons is I can choose peace instead of this.
That's
so.
Right.
The thing that we're talking about, though, the hope and the courage and the connection, I started having hope once I started connecting with people. Once I realized that other people had been down the same nasty, dirty, ugly, dark trail that I had been down, and they had turned around, and they now had life in their life. That connection gave me hope. That hope,
yeah.
That hope. Again, it's like we talk about connecting the dots. You talk about connecting the dots all the time. If I connect the dots, hope, connection gives me hope. Hope gives me the beginning stages of courage.
Right.
Then after I act courageously to some degree and I move into something new and I face it, then I start to have faith. Then my courage starts to be touchable. It starts to be something tangible that I can say,
right.
Wow. I tried something new. I actually asked that girl to dance without a beer, and she danced. And even though she didn't dance, I asked without the drink. Wow. And you know what? In my own experience, and this is very real, because we used to have a lot, actually, 12-step dances on the weekends where people could go and just have fun and not be about recovery and just be with other people trying to do the right thing. What I learned about myself is that when I did ask and someone said no, I just went to the next one. And eventually somebody said, yes, I'll dance with you. And but I didn't stop. I didn't give up. And it's like, yeah. That's the other thing. It's like a credo for me. It's like, don't ever give up.
I know. And that's the beauty of what we can tell ourselves. You know, when we begin to switch it out, when we begin to, again, release and replace, release the thoughts that really want to sabotage us and undermine us and throw us under the bus and say, no thoughts. You don't have my back. I'm going to really allow for thoughts that do have my back. I'm going to cultivate thoughts that do support me. I'm going to have thoughts that are going to say, oh, somebody didn't want to dance with me. Well, somebody will. If it's not this person, it'll be the next person. That's the kind of self-talk we want to cultivate and develop and really advocate for ourselves and really stand up for ourselves. There's a point, and again, you know, we talk towards the addict, but really these are, when I'm not an addict, but I feel so connected to the human condition. I feel so connected to all people of all walks of life, of all situations, because we are human and we all have insecurities and we all have doubts and we all have the inner critic and we all have fear. You know, we just go about it differently. We just either have different self-talk or we reach for different things to make ourselves feel better, or we tell ourselves different things to kid ourselves. But at the end of the day, we have to really begin to own what we're telling ourselves, no matter who you are, and say, if I begin to tell myself things that are more about self-love, I'm going to be able to go out into the world and live my life more proactively and more successfully. And every single person on this planet has a right to do that. Whether you're an addict or you're not, you have every right to live a healthy, wholesome, successful life. Everybody does, no matter where you come from. No matter what you've been through, you know, if you start to believe and take hold in your mind a whole new way of thinking, you can really transcend. And to do your beautiful metaphor, Johnny, about the butterfly, you can experience a transformation. And that is the truest of all miracles. You can experience a true transformation if you just show up for your life and say, I'm ready to make the change.
I'm going to lay out another scenario that is the darker side of what we're talking about, actually. And I'm going to talk to the addict out there in our audience and see if they cannot relate to this. Let's say you go to that dance and you've listened to the Johnny and Nora show and you're like, you know what? I just need to be courageous and ask her if she'll dance. And you ask her and she says no. Now, if you're not watching your mind, what you'll do is you'll buy into like, this shit don't work. I'm going home. And when you do, you go back to what we were talking about last week. You isolate, you separate, you disconnect, you feel miserable and lonely, and then you go to hopelessness and you pick up. But if you just don't give up and you say, you know what? She said no, but I'm going to ask somebody else. And you know what? Even if nobody dances with me tonight, even if I can't get one person to dance with me, I've done it different. I tried something new.
Yes.
Regardless of the outcome.
Yes, absolutely.
I've done something new.
Yes.
It's not about getting somebody to dance with me. It's about how I feel about me. So
yes.
Look how I've already changed. I didn't go pick up. I didn't go isolate. I didn't go disconnect. I didn't go separate. I stayed here and I connected with the other people in this dance. And you know what? My mind wants to tell me that I'm different, that I'm the only guy in the dance that's not dancing. Look around the room.
Yeah.
Look around the room. There's other people that aren't dancing.
Yeah.
Don't let your mind lie to you and tell you you're the only one, because it's a lie. You are the only one.
No, it is a lie. The mind can be a trickster, as we know, and the mind can tell us all sorts of things. But we have to remind ourselves that it's our mind, and we can decide what thoughts we want to hold on to and what thoughts we want to let go of. And no matter where you've come from, because, you know, when you were talking, Johnny, you have to put yourself in the mind of somebody who has really suffered and maybe never felt lovable. They never had anybody ever really tell them they were lovable. Imagine you're that person. Let's just use that person as an example. You've never really had someone tell you positive things about you. And there you are at the dance and you want to go towards somebody and you've been told you're not lovable, or you've never felt lovable, so you tell yourself you're not lovable. Why would someone want to dance with me? I'm unlovable. And maybe today is the day where you say, you know what? Today I'm going to tell myself that I'm lovable, and I will do something different to talk about your example. And I will ask somebody to dance with me. And even if they say no, I'm not going to throw myself under the bus by saying, see, they said no, then that means you're unlovable. That means you're unworthy. That means, and there you go into the chatter of negativity. And that's when you need to catch it and go, oh, no, 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 hold on. Hold on, mind. You know, you don't have my back at all right now. You just want to sabotage my courageous step, which was to believe in myself by telling me something different and do an action. You know, we talked about action. This is time to have a thought that supports a positive action. And I know you've talked, Johnny, about the addict and where the outcome or the action has not been positive. And now we're really wanting to deconstruct that and reconstruct positive thoughts that create positive actions, that create positive outcomes. You know, again, connecting the dots.
Right. It goes back to our math equation. Change a thought, change a feeling, changes a belief, changes a behavior, changes a life. You got to start with changing the thought. And
right.
A lot of people want to say, that's just too simple, man. There's got to be more to it. And there's really not. There's really not. Now, in my experience, I can look back on my life today in my recovery and I can say, you know, with all the work I've done, all the step work, all the Course in Miracles, all the different workshops, the only thing that really happened was a change of mind. But I had to do the work. I had to do the work to unpeel the onion and find the thoughts that needed to be changed. I had no idea how self-destructive and how many layers of self-destructive thoughts were consuming me. I had to unpeel that onion. So
that's right. Yeah. And it's just, you know, like we talk about with every show, one step at a time. You know, I say one thought at a time. Change out one negative thought that you're telling yourself. Try to change just one. You know, whatever that is for the listeners out there, you know, we're using the example of going to ask somebody for a dance. And that brings up rejection. It brings up insecurity. You know, whatever you're doing in your life, think of one thought that maybe you keep telling yourself. Maybe it's a thought that you've been telling yourself all day today. Something about not being enough, not being good enough, not being able to do this. Whatever your self-talk is, one thought, that's all I'm asking you to do. Take one negative thought and try to release it by replacing it with something that's the complete opposite, whatever that is for you. I mean, I just suggest you sit down, you really let that thought come up. What is that thought maybe you're telling yourself right now where you're listening to this show? You know, we could have people listening to this going, oh, that sounds great, but it's not going to work for me. Oh, that all sounds great, what Orin Johnny's saying, but you know what? No, I don't believe it. Oh, no, it can't be that easy. Whatever your inner talk is, try and change out just one thing. Is that asking so much? One negative thought, one fear thought. Even if you have a thought that's fear-based, what can you do from going step A to just to step B? Even if it's just one step, try it. You have nothing to lose. That's a thing, Johnny. I want to emphasize with this, everything we talk about, my method, it's just trying. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Nothing.
We're getting close to time again, Aura. I can't believe it. It just flies when we do these shows. But I want to lay this out there. This is not easy work, but it is really simple work. And there's a big difference in simple and easy. The simplicity is, I have a fear. If I could connect with someone else that's had that same fear, which is a big part of what the 12-step rooms are for, is connectivity to someone that knows what I'm going through. If I can connect with someone with that fear, it gives me a little hope. I know I've done this a couple times already, but I really want to lay this out. Fear and connection. Connection gives me hope. Hope gives me a little courage to try it a little differently. Mm-hmm. I try it a little differently. It works. That gives me a little faith to move forward. You keep building those little building blocks. You know, I've always gotten a big kick out of people when they're dealing with something. They say, oh, it's just a little thing. You know what? So is a brick. But you put enough bricks together, you got a house. And we got to watch the little things that we try to just pass off. Oh, there's nothing. That's nothing. You know, let's face them. Let's question them, because those little things build up. They make walls. And we hide ourselves behind those walls. I'm really grateful to get to be doing this work I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you, if I didn't do the work that we're talking about in the way that I've done it, I wouldn't be able to be here doing this show.
Right.
I just wouldn't. And I mean, since I've really gotten into what we're talking about, my life is like so drastically different than anything I ever dreamed was possible for me. Brendan Burchard talks about you gotta dream bigger. How does he say that? You gotta dream bigger than you know how to dream. And you know, the guy that came into my first 12-step meeting, he couldn't have dreamed of what I'm doing right now. I couldn't even dream. You know, my biggest thing was like, man, maybe I could get a job where I could work 40 hours. I didn't dream of having two businesses. I have an air conditioning business, I have my book business, and I get to do these podcasts. And there's no way I could have dreamed of that when I started. So just allow yourself to think outside the box and move toward what you really want.
And those are the steps, Johnny. That's like, you know, before you know it, the beauty of taking those steps is when you find yourself at the very beginning. You know, that's the beauty of us sharing our stories, because we've all been on the other side of it. So you can remember when you took your first step and going from point A, and then one day you're at point L, and the next day you're at point W. You know, we start to see ourselves moving along, and it's so magnificent.
It's incredible.
You know? So you got to have faith. You have to want to do this. You know, what we can't do for people, Johnny, is we can't make them want to do it.
Oh,
that's an insight. That's an inside job. You know, we can say, we can be your biggest cheering squad. And I say that in the book, as you know, I say your thoughts need to be your cheering squad, not your hecklers. So I don't live with people that are listening to this show. I can't be whispering into their ears 24/7. That's what we have to do. We have to work with our thinking mind. And that's what I'm encouraging people to do. To work with their own thoughts, because they're living with you. They're with you 24/7. Do you know? Start to talk to yourself differently. Start to cultivate more positive, loving thoughts about yourself. Just try. Again, I keep saying you have nothing to lose, only to gain by changing your thinking mind to start to believe in you, to see that you can, in fact, change your life.
I want to tag on what you just said before we close the show. The three spiritual principles that are the foundation of the 12-step halls is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I can't make you be willing to be honest or to be open. I can't give you that willingness. In the 12-step rooms and in life, there are so many things that we can give to each other and so many things that we can do for each other. No one can give anyone else willingness.
Right.
I can inspire you. I can make you say, wow, that's so cool. I can do those things. But inspiration doesn't last if it doesn't connect to willingness.
That's right.
You know, I heard an old guy outside a 12-step meeting one night. This kid just could not get it. He kept coming back and kept coming back, kept going back out and using again and kept coming back. And the old guy said to him, he said, son, just keep coming back. He said, but keep going and doing what you're doing, because there's one thing that Jack Daniels can do for you that the people in these rooms can't. And I heard that and my ears perked up. And the kid said, well, what's that? And the old guy said, you know what? Enough hurt from Jack Daniels might give you the willingness to listen to the people in these rooms. Wow. Pain is usually the predecessor to what pushes us into making changes. That's a misfortune, but it seems to be real. Once I hurt enough, I was able to say, my way's not working. Maybe I'll try your way now. So I don't want you to hurt any more than you have to. There's another thing that we read in most of the 12-step meetings that says, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. I'm begging you, please be fearless and thorough. Face your thoughts and change them.
That's right, Johnny, to bring it full circle to the word that we began with, courage. Asking you to take that step towards fearlessness and really meet your courage. Your courage is there. It's waiting for you to meet it. It's there. It's there.
Okay, Aura, we got to wrap her up. I want to say thank you for being here. I want to say thanks to all our listeners, and I hope our listening audience continues to grow. It has been. And I just want to say you can go to Says Who for the Attic on Facebook. You can go to johnnycalloway.com and find out what I'm doing. And Aura?
AuraNadridge.com, and you can check out what I'm doing. It's all good.
And you can also go to Morph Into a New You and listen to all my other podcasts with all my other wonderful guests. Thanks again, and you have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.